Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there today. This morning, we are starting into a new series called Living Now for the Future. And I'm looking forward to this study, this series together, because I feel like there are so many of us that we want our lives to count for something. We want our lives to matter. We want to be part of something bigger than us, something that lasts beyond just the few years that we have on earth. And in fact, this is becoming quite a common thing in young people. In a recent survey that was done among millennials, those aged 16 to 35, they surveyed a group of people in the U.S., and they found this very interesting stat, that 90% of millennials believe they have the responsibility to do something great in their lifetime. 90%. That's not half. That's not, you know, a few. 90% of millennials believe they have the responsibility to do something great in their lifetime. So this younger generation coming up, they have this belief that they're meant to be part of something bigger, something important, that their life is meant to last for something. And I know many of you who are older than this generation would sense the same thing. And so with this in mind, with this idea that we want our lives to count for something, how do we do that? And so as we launch into this series this morning, there's six things we're going to cover as we go through the book of 1 Thessalonians. The first is, what does it mean to live your life as an example? How do you live your life in such a way that it's an example to other people? The second, on May 15th, is how do we live in such a way to please God? How do we please God with the way that we live our lives? And then on the 22nd, we'll be exploring what does it mean to live in community? How do we do that well? How do we live with each other? And then on the 29th, we're talking about living in holiness. How do we live lives that are set apart for God, dedicated to serving Him? How do we do that? What does that look like? And then we're talking about living for the future. How do we live our lives in such a way that impacts the future and even more than that, that impacts all of eternity? How do we live that way? And then finally, we'll wrap it up with talking about living with the Spirit. How do we have that deep connection with God where His Spirit speaks into our lives and guides us and shows us what we're supposed to do with our lives and the purpose for our lives and help us make those day-to-day decisions of following Jesus? What is that all look like? But this morning, as we start off, we're going to talk about what does it mean to live as an example. If you were ever to come and visit me in my office, above my desk, you would see written these words: your life screams so loud they can't hear a word you say. And these words are taken from a song by Grover Levy that my youth pastor used to play quite a bit. And the line before it says, if you want to lead me to Jesus, you better find another way. Because your life screams so loud, I can't even hear a word you say. And the point of the song is that if you live in a way that is contrary to what you say you believe, people take more into account what you do than what you say. And so I have this above my desk as a reminder that I can come up with all the greatest programs and strategies and ideas for how to reach young people. I can come up with the most articulate messages that are just beautiful. I can do all of that. But if I live my life in a way that is contrary to what the gospel says I should live my life, none of that matters. And so I take that responsibility to heart. I take it seriously. And so I have that above my desk to remind me that the young people that I lead are watching me. And they're learning every bit as much from what I do, maybe even more than what I say. In my previous church, one of the pastors, he also used to say this. He said, lessons are caught and not taught. Meaning, what we do is what people glean so many lessons from in life. Those of us that have children, we've experienced this, right? We tell them to do one thing, but sometimes we're living in a different way. For those of us who are dads out there, maybe you've experienced this before where your kid is caught doing something by their mother or saying something by their mother. And moms, because they love to investigate, not just to figure out what happened, but why it happened, they start doing some investigative work. And they ask questions like, where did you hear that? Right? Where did you hear that? Or if they're caught, say, doing something like drinking out of the milk carton, where did you get that idea from? And as dads, we're just really hoping that their answer will be, oh, I saw a friend do it, or oh, I picked that up from school. But we know what's coming next. Oh, I saw dad do it. Oh, I heard dad say that. And you're like, this is not going to be good. And you know that you're going to have to confess and say, yeah, dad did do that, but I really shouldn't have. That wasn't good. Right? So those of us that have children or have been around children, we understand this all too well, that lessons are caught and not taught. Or if you're an employer or a foreman in a work setting, and you're trying to call your employees to something, but you're not willing to do that yourself, you find it's hard to motivate them, right? You're like, we need to really work hard and everybody needs to be dedicated, but you are not working hard or being dedicated. They're probably not going to follow what you're saying. They're probably going to follow what you're doing. So there's this reality that lessons are often caught and not taught. Or maybe you've experienced it this way. Somebody is explaining to you how to do something. And at the end of their explanation, you are clearly looking at them with this glazed over expression, and they pick up on that. And they say to you, you didn't understand what I was talking about, did you? And you're like, no, I didn't really get it at all. And they say, let me show you. And they show you, and you're like, oh, okay, now I get it. And then you can do it. And you do it, and you learn from it, and then you never forget how to do that. Lessons are often caught, not taught. And actions, we've all heard this, right? Actions are louder than words, meaning what we do has profound impact on people more so than what we say. And that if we are doing things that are contrary to what we say we believe, that speaks louder, that speaks volumes to people. So with this whole thing in mind, that the importance of what it means to live as an example, this morning we're going to explore this question then. How do we live as examples? How do we live as examples? And in order to do that, we are going to jump into the text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 7. So if you have your Bible, you're welcome to turn to that. If you want to look it up on your phone app, that's great too. If you don't have a Bible and you'd love to have a Bible, just raise your hand and one of the ushers would be glad to bring you one. We have one up here, ushers. If you'd take care of that, that'd be awesome. Thank you. Let's read together in verse 7. It says, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now, Paul is writing this letter to a group of people in Thessalonica. And the people that lived in this community, they were known for worshiping idols, worshiping several gods. They were even known for worshiping Caesar, the Roman emperor. And they were known for all kinds of practices that are contrary to what following Jesus should look like. And yet, here is Paul holding them up as this great example that has gone out to people all over the Roman Empire of how to live a life of following Jesus. They are now becoming the examples. So how does a group of people go from idol worshipers to the standard of what it means to follow Jesus? How does that happen? Because the two are polar opposites, right? Over here we have idol worship and worshiping Caesar and all these other things. And over here we have fully committed lives to Jesus that are being held up as the example to people all over the place. How does that happen? Well, I don't know if you've ever watched a TV show or a movie maybe, and they do this thing where they start out with this scene, and you're watching the scene, and then they say 10 years later, or sorry, earlier, or 5 years earlier, or 3 months earlier, and they do a flashback to how they got to that event that they showed at the beginning of the show. And it works through all the different chain of events that happened to lead up to what happened at the beginning of the show, and then they show that scene at the end again. Maybe you've seen a show like that. Well, normally, when we're teaching on a Sunday morning from a passage of Scripture, we start at the beginning, and we work our way to the end of that passage. This morning, we actually started at the end of the passage we're going to explore today, and now we're going to say a few verses earlier, we're going to explore a few verses earlier to explore this question, how does a group of people go from idol worshipers to the standard of what it means to follow Jesus? So if you'll turn a few verses back, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 now, it says this, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply by words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction." A big part of the reason why this great life transformation happened is because the people of Thessalonica experienced the power of the gospel. They experienced Jesus. They encountered him, and it changed everything. And I want to say to you, the gospel changes everything. For the people of Thessalonica, the gospel changed everything. And I want to say that that is not just true 2,000 years ago of the people of Thessalonica. I want to say to you today that that is true today in 2016 in Prince George. The gospel changes everything. Because when they heard this message that Jesus was the Son of God and he came down to earth to live among us and that he died on a cross and rose again, conquering death, and because of that, they could have this amazing relationship with God and get to spend all of eternity with him. That was a game changer for them. That completely changed the way that they viewed life and the way that they lived life. And if you truly encounter this Jesus and this gospel, this message that he has, it will change your life. You will experience life transformation. That doesn't mean everything in your life will be perfect and everything will work out. We're going to see as we continue in this passage that the people of Thessalonica experienced tremendous suffering. But the gospel is powerful and it can change everything. So that was part of their transformation. The second part of their transformation we find in verses 5 to 6. And when he says the "we" part, he's talking about himself, Silas, and Timothy in the passage. He says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Paul says that part of the life transformation, why they are such great examples and models of what it means to follow Jesus, is because they were following Paul, Silas, and Timothy's example. In fact, often you'll find in Paul's letters, he says things like, "Follow my example, be imitators of me." And so part of the reason why they've experienced this great life transformation is that they had people model for them what it meant to live for Jesus. They had good, faithful models that modeled for them in the midst of suffering, whatever life circumstances were, what it meant to follow Jesus. Earlier, I referenced that 90% of millennials said that they wanted their life to make a difference. They felt responsibility to do that. And I want to say that in order to do that, we need great models to show us what a faithful life lived for Jesus looks like. We need great models to do that. And sometimes when I've been talking to people who have followed Jesus for years, like we're talking 30, 40, 50 years, they say something to me, and it actually kind of bothers me. They say, well, when I ask them about giving a testimony, they say something like along these lines. They say, well, my testimony is kind of boring. My testimony is kind of boring. You know, some people have, you know, other people have great testimonies where they were doing like these really foolish things, and then God came and just changed their lives, and they started to just follow him, and it totally changed their lives. My life isn't like that. I've just always faithfully followed God with my life. I've never really turned aside. I've never really abandoned God. I've always just followed him. That is not boring. That is incredibly powerful. That is incredibly powerful. That means that the Holy Spirit has been at work in your life. That means God's grace has been in your life to preserve this faithfulness to him. And those of us that are coming after you, we need that faithful example. We need that faithful example. We need people like that to mentor us, to give us hope that it can be done. We need that example. And so I challenge you, if that is you, I challenge you to consider mentoring a young person. We need that godly example in our life. Just one of the things that I do in my own life, in fact, is that I know that I'm mentoring people. I mentored a few different young people, but I also have a mentor. And so I challenge you, there's something about having this someone model for you what it means to follow Jesus that is powerful and that can help shape your life. So we're talking about what it means to live as an example, but we haven't talked about what kind of example the Thessalonians were setting. What was this great example that Paul's talking about? What qualities were they modeling? Well, if we go back in the text again to verses 2 and 3, we see this. Paul's talking again, and he says, "We always thank God for all of you continually mentioning you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father," now he's going to list three things, three qualities: "your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." They were setting an example in three ways. Number one is work inspired by faith. The Thessalonians, when they had this life transformation that was brought up upon them by the gospel, by this message of Jesus, they were willing to step out and seek where God was moving in their community, and they were willing to step out in faith and do the work that God asked of them. If God said, "In this area, I want you to care for the poor," they said, "All right, we're all in, we're going to do it." If they said, "Over here, I need you to share this message of the gospel that changes everything. I need you to share that with those around you." "All right, we're going to do it. We're going to step out in faith and do that." They were known for being willing to step out of their comfort zone and do whatever God asked them to do. So that's the first thing. They were willing to do the work that was inspired by their faith in Jesus. The second thing is labor prompted by love. They knew, they had this understanding of how much God loved them. And in that understanding, they were able to love others well. See, when they decided to follow Jesus in a culture where everybody else was following and serving idols and worshiping other gods and worshiping Caesar, they were persecuted for it. They suffered greatly, sometimes from their own family, sometimes from their own friends, from other people in their community. It wasn't easy for them to follow Jesus. And so there were often times when they had to choose to love other people well, even though those people were mistreating them. So they were examples of what it meant to truly love somebody. Not love that was simply based on a feeling, but love that was rooted in God's love, that they knew how much God loved them and they wanted to express it to others regardless of how those people were treating them. And that was powerful. And the gospel spread because of their great labor of love. The third example was endurance founded in hope. We talked about suffering that they were facing. In the midst of that suffering, they remained faithful to Jesus. They didn't say, this is too hard. Let's forget this whole Jesus stuff and go back to worshiping the idols. Our lives were way easier when we did that. They didn't do that. They faithfully served Jesus in the good times and the bad, through suffering, through joy, whatever their circumstances. They had hope because they believed that one day Jesus was going to come back and they're going to get to spend eternity with him. They believed that it wasn't always going to be this way. They weren't always going to suffer. One day they were going to get to spend eternity with God, and Jesus was going to make everything right again. And so they had their hope. They placed their hope in Jesus. And so they were able to endure in their faith despite hardship, despite suffering, because their hope was in Jesus. So they showed an example in faith, in love, and in hope. So with all this in mind then, I want us to leave this place thinking through a couple questions. The first is this: have I encountered this gospel that changes everything? Have I encountered it? Has it shaped my life? Has it impacted me? Do I know this Jesus that changes everything, that came to earth, lived among us, died on a cross, rose again, and is calling me into this relationship with him? Do I know him? I want to say to you this morning, if you don't know him and you want to experience this gospel that changes everything, I'd love for you to come pray with me after. We can talk about it. We can pray with you. I know there's others in the crowd, elders, pastors, who'd love to pray with you as well. If you're not sure who those people are and you want to connect with somebody, maybe you can just check with one of the ushers and they can either pray with you or steer you towards someone that would be willing to. But I'd love for you this morning to experience Jesus and the gospel that changes everything for the first time. Some of us are here this morning and we've decided to follow Jesus years ago, but maybe we've gotten a little stale in that. And we haven't really experienced that gospel in a meaningful and powerful way lately. I'd love for you guys to come pray with me too, and or pray with someone else, and just pray with each other, and just remember this gospel that changes everything, and remember the power that it has, and experience the Holy Spirit and this life transformation that he has to offer this morning. The second question that I want us to think through is this: what kind of example am I modeling? What kind of example am I modeling? Is the example I'm setting a good example for what it means to follow Jesus? Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those people that I talked about that has been faithful for years. I challenge you then to consider mentoring someone. Maybe you know you're still learning, you're still growing, as we all should be and should continue to be. Maybe you need someone to mentor you. Maybe you'd like to do both. Maybe you'd like to be like myself and have people that you mentor, but know you need someone pouring into you as well, and so you would want someone to mentor you, to show you what it means. We need faithful examples of what it means to model this life of following Jesus. So think about that through that this week. What kind of example am I modeling? Are there people that I could bring, that I could come alongside and mentor? Is there someone that I could come along, that I could have come alongside me and mentor me? Maybe you need to think through considering who you would ask to do that this week. In just a couple minutes here, the worship team is going to come and they're going to lead us in some more worship. But just as they do that, as they come, I just want to pray for you. Because modeling this whole idea of modeling and being an example of what it means to follow Jesus is difficult in our world. And so I just want to pray for you and pray for God's power to enable you to do this. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, I first of all just want to thank you so much that you did come and die for us and rise again, and that we can have this deep and meaningful relationship with you. And God, I pray that your gospel that changes everything would impact our lives today, God. And that if we know you, we'd see you afresh. And if we don't know you, that we could just come in relationship with you for the very first time today, God. God, I pray you would bring to mind, for those of us that desire someone to mentor us, I pray that you'd bring to mind who that might be, God. For those of us that we know that maybe we need to take that step of mentoring someone else, God, help us even to think through who that might be, God. By your Spirit, help lead us in those directions, God. And by your gospel, continue to transform us, Jesus, as we relate to you. By your Holy Spirit, transform us and help us to be an example of what it means to follow you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.